enough is not painful enough for you. It's well known, it's not well known, that Esther used every ounce of her koyach as a prophetess, all her influence with the Chazal, with the sages of her generation, to have Purim Koveya as a yearly celebration. There was a lot of opposition, and she took an enormous amount of, put an enormous amount of effort. Sorry. It's going to buzz, you can't record it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to shut it off.
I don't want passive recorders, but when I start speaking back, to ensure that Purim was Koveya LeDoyres, and that's what we have Purim today. If it was Koveya LeDoyres, it means she understood that it had relevance to the Doyres. Chazal tell us that Esther was Motzechein. The Pasuk actually, she was Motzechein B'chol Roish. She found favor in everyone that saw her. She was 75 years old when she married Achashverosh, and she was Motzechein. In fact, it was Astakoros HaToiv to Haman for suggesting to kill Vashti, that he met Esther, that he made Haman the Mishnah the Melech. He was so impressed with her. 75 years old. She was Motzechein. And the Lamaisi says that goes through all the generations as well. Megillas Esther is Motzechein by everybody. Your 3-year-old's learning Megillas Esther, and the 60-year-old's learning Megillas Esther, and everybody in between's learning Megillas Esther. If we take a posuk from anywhere else in the Torah, you ask somebody where it's from, he'll tell you, yeah, maybe it's Mishlei, Ulai, it's Eicher. You show someone a posuk in Esther, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. We're enchanted by the Megillah. It's a fascinating work, and the story is very relevant. And the interplay and the Nahafuchu, and there's been amazing works written on it, amazing works and amazing buckets of ink spilt on trying to understand the Megillah. And it's not just a nice cute story, it's loaded and packed with Sodas HaTorah and relevance today. And just one small example that's very well known, and that is if you have a look in the Megillah when it's discussing the 10 sons of Haman being hung. So in there's 3 small letters. Parshtan Dosa has got a small taf. And Parmashost has got a small shin. And Vayozo has a small zayin. Taf shin zayin is the equivalent to 1947. It was the Nuremberg trials. In the Nuremberg trials, 11 Nazi Yimach Shumei war criminals were sentenced to be hung. 11. So then it doesn't work because there's 10 here. The night before, one committed suicide. Yeah? He had some strange tendencies. Haman's daughter committed suicide. This Nazi that killed himself the night before he was hung was known to have certain not such straight behavioral patterns. The 10 were hung the next day, and as Streicher, one of them was Jakob Streicher, Rudolf Streicher, I can't remember his name, was led to the gallows, he screamed out, Purim Fest 1947. Tapshin Zion is written in there. There's a remez to it, yeah, that's well known. The Dovber Weizmandel already brought this down. Based on the Chasam Sofer said that the Gezeira of Haman was never mevatled. It was doiche, it was pushed aside, but it was never mevatled, and it was finally executed 70 years ago. That's what he said, based on a Chasam Sofer, that the Gezeira was never uprooted. It was there, and it was pushed aside.
Which
Gezeira? The Gezeira of Haman to kill the Jews. There was a Gezeira of Haman to kill the Jews. That Gezeira, it was really a Gezeira Samelech. The Gezeira came from Hashem, but it was pushed aside by the time of Haman, Mordechai and Esther. But it was hanging there waiting to have it. And this is Streicher is telling you, remember Purim Fest. Heard recently, the Kuntras that put out, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. So God took Pirush on the Megillah with Ramazim and Gematrias and whatever. I mentioned this to some of the guys the other day. He took all the names of those 10 Nazi criminals and he wrote them out in Hebrew. And the Gematria comes to exactly 7,420 or 26, I can't remember. If you work out the gematria of the Sora B'nai Haman, you'll see it comes to exactly the same gematria. Quite a pella. But Tum says you can make up your own gematrias. You take a gematria, if it works, it works. So we see that the Megillah is more than just a nice story, more than just a nice happening that happened back then. There's a lot to be learned from it, enormous amount to be learned from it. So try and take away from here something which is shaykh to us at a macrocosmic level, and try and take away here something which is perhaps more personal, more aloch lamaisa. The Malbim tells us, fascinating Malbim, which Rav Weinbach Zatzal wrote an interesting running commentary of the Malbim, sort of put it together as a almost as a novel. But look in the Malbim tells us that there's two types of melechs. There's two types of melechs, two types of kings. There's a king who's a king, who inherited his kingship from his father or from his inheritance, and there's a king who conquered the country. He's not really a king, but he puts himself into a position of being a king. What's the difference? A king who's a king, who's really a king, is limited. There's laws of kingship. You can't just do whatever you want. If you're the king of England or the queen of England, whatever, you can't just do whatever you want. Your kids might be able to, but you certainly can't. You have to, you can see where the Brits are, they're smiling. Everyone else is sitting a lot dumb. So he's limited. There's rules of kingship. He can't just go and spend whatever money he wants. He can't just go into the treasury. He can't just kill people. He's got limitations. There's rules and regulations. There's a constitution. There's a list of things that a king can do and he can't do. A king that conquers a country is what the Malbim calls a melech she'ein hagbala. It's a malchus bli hagbala. There's no limitations. He can do whatever he wants. First of all, he's not a king. The only reason he's a king is because he's a chutzpah. He's an enormous chutzpah. And he's not bound by the rules of kingship because he's conquered the country. He can now do whatever he wants. Ahasuerus was like this. He married Vashti, who was the granddaughter, or the daughter, who was the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Daughter? Heininklach. Huh? Daughter, granddaughter. He was the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Huh? Granddaughter. And he married her. And that's how he became the king, but he himself wasn't a king, and he wasn't the next in line, he wasn't the heir to the throne. Vashti was kingship, she was malchus. But he was a melech she'ein hagbala, he had no limitations, and he wanted a kingdom where there would be no hagbalas, no limitations. Do whatever you want. Totally free to do whatever you want. That's what Ahasuerus wanted. We have to understand what Ahasuerus is. As we go into Purim, a person has to, same way as we have to relive Purim on Purim, we're not just remembering what happened. Like all the Jewish Chagim, I think it's well known. We're not just remembering, having historical remembrance of Purim. We're actually trying to get in touch with the energies and the koichas and the avoid of what Purim was then. We're trying to get in touch with it now. So too, the days before Purim, we have to get in touch with. As you read the Megillah, it says, Vayi b'mei Ahasuerus. He was a king, a madman, the most powerful man in the world. He could do anything whenever he wanted. And he was a meshuganah. He invites his wife, he has a feast, and he invites his wife to come to the feast only wearing kesamalchus, as a bizoin gadol like that. The Gaus Mashiach is unpredictable. That's where you're living. You're living in a world like that today. You have to know. And we have to go into Purim feeling that. You can't feel the redemption, you can't feel the nahafuchu if you didn't feel the... That's what we're living with. That's where we're living today. We're living in a world where we have a malchus bli hagbala. That's what democracy is. Democracy is basically you can do whatever you want as long as you don't get caught. And as we get further and further away from any sense of morality, of any sense of decency in a world today, you're living more and more under the most cynical rulership all over the world. If you might not feel it because you live in a place that's a little bit better, a little bit worse, but Lamais, if you ever look what's going on in the world, morality's down the drain. There's a total moral fiber breakdown of society. We have to know that. We have to recognize that. If you don't recognize that, then everything's fine. The famous Maisa about there was a couple that lived in some shtetl somewhere, and they had a cow and they had some chickens, and they lived a very nice life. There was only one problem. The goyim used to give them a really hard time. The Polish landlord used to give them a hard time and charge them taxes, or it was very difficult for them. As they went to the Rav, they were complaining or whatever, said the Rav says, listen, I've got news for you. Mashiach's going to come soon. Mashiach comes, we're all going to get into Israel, and you won't have to deal with the goyim, and everything's going to be beautiful. You don't have to worry, just hang in a little bit longer. He said, listen, I'm not so sure. I can't just go off to Eretz Yisrael. I have to speak to my wife first. We've got chickens and cows here. We can't just pack up. Who's going to look after the chickens and the cows and everything? We can't just go to Eretz. It's not so posh. So he went back to his wife, and he came back to the Rav. He said, listen, I spoke to my wife. She agrees with me. We can't just pack up and go. So, Mashiach will come, not come. But this is... It's Mashiach's problem, not our problem. We have a problem. We could laugh here. We have no problems. The only problem we have is by the Goyim. The Goyim, the Polish landlord drives us mad or whatever. So can you do us a favor when Mashiach comes? Will you ask him please to take the Goyim back to Eretz Yisrael? We'll stay out with the chickens and the... If you think you're fine, if you think everything's beautiful, you think your life's fine, so when the redemption comes, you know, you're going to miss it. You're not going to notice anything's missing you. How does Ahasuerus go about instilling into the world, which he ruled, a Malchus Bli Hagbolah, where there's no limitations whatsoever? We all know, everybody has the Yetzirah. We know the Yetzirah is very powerful. Very powerful. Sometimes you can't understand, how did I do that? Where did I get caught? The Yetzirah is a burning fire. But you know that there's one thing much more powerful than the Yetzirah. Anybody here want to have a guess? Embarrassment. Busha. There's a thing called Busha. Person's about to do something. He's decided he's going to do it, and the Yetzirah has got him in a tight grip or whatever, and someone walks into the room, boom, the Yetzirah is gone. Gone? What? The Busha. The embarrassment. But there's something that's even stronger than Busha. Something that's even stronger than Busha. He's called Amalek. Why is Amalek stronger than Busha? Because Amalek is called a lace pesi. He's a late. Leitzonis, making a joke of everything and knocking everything down and making nothing sanctus, and everything's just secular, everything's just whole. That will override even Busha. There used to be a time when a guy got caught swindling or whatever. They put him in prison. They used to take his shoelaces away from him. The guy killed himself. The guy gets caught as an embezzler of a company or whatever. The guy's so embarrassed, he'll commit suicide. Today, when did the last time you heard anybody committing suicide? We have an embezzler. The son, maybe, yeah, that we've heard about. But the guy himself, prime minister gets caught doing who knows what. Horrific things. He didn't steal a few thousand rand, whatever. He was mummish doing horrific stuff. He tried to commit suicide. There's no Busha in the world anymore. Why not? Because everything's cynical, everything's a joke, nothing matters anymore. There's no moral standing in society anymore. That's Amalek. So Ahasuerus makes a partnership with Amalek to create a world, Bli Hagbolah, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. At Kedai that I'm going to bring Vashtiya and I'm going to embarrass her, the queen, the highest noble in town. I'm going to bring her and I'm going to embarrass her and mavaza her, because after that there'll be no Busha in the world anymore. Who's going to have Busha? Who can tie a Busha after such a thing? Who's going to tie a Busha anymore? And when she doesn't come, the minister say to him, she's created a Busha for you. What did he create a Busha for you? Not she's embarrassed you. She's brought Busha into the world. Her not coming. She didn't want to come. Hashem made it that she didn't come. It seems she wanted to come. She was in on this deal. Hashem gave her a tail. She couldn't come, whatever. But be that as it may, there's Busha in the world. We have to get rid of Busha. You know, Hitler mach shmoy ratz in Mein Kampf. That the reason he wants to kill the Jews is because they're the conscience of the world. And as long as they're around, we can't do what we want. There's something that's stopping me. I can't just do what I want. I can't eat chaza sandwiches whenever I want. I can't just drive on. There's somebody telling me you're wrong. Got to get rid of that. We can't have that in the world. That's a conscience. You can't have conscience in the world. If you want to be Bli Hagbolah, if you want to be chofshi. Today we call it chofshi, free. You're free. I'm a volunteer. Yeah, I'm a frum volunteer. I volunteer to do certain things that suit me, and other things I don't volunteer for, whatever. Oh, we're machayev, we're machayev. That's the world that Ahasuerus is trying to start up. And that's what Amalek came to do. He couldn't stand the fact that Mordechai wouldn't bow down to him. What are you bothered about? Millions of people all over the world, wherever you go, don't just bow down. They lie flat on the floor. Imagine he walks through Times Square. There are a couple hundred thousand people walking through Times Square. They're all flat on their faces, lying in Times Square. The traffic stopped, the train stopped, everything stopped. Haman's walking. And everyone's lying prostrated on the ground. Wherever he goes, is that enough for you? One little yiddle that doesn't bow down to you, it destroys his world. He can't. He's completely mashul. He's taken up with it. He's prepared to lose everything because of that. Why? Because there's a hagbola. There's something limiting my ability to be free. And that's what they came to destroy. And that's Lamaisa, what the war of Purim was about. But it goes deeper. How limitless did they want their rulership to be? It's brought down in certain svarim like this. We all know that a yid, we call it the pintel yid, the little stickle flash, Wasserman Zatzal called it the pilot light. You know, you have these gas boilers. So how do they work? They don't pump out flames all the time. They have a little pilot light, a tiny little light burning. When you open up the water, it opens up the gas and it shoots into a big flame. So every Jew has that little pilot light. Some's buried more deep, less deep, but everyone's got it. Start putting a bit of gas, a bit of Torah, and eventually it bursts out. You see people, the guy's very rochel, very distant from Torah, Yiddishkeit, whatever. Arrives at the Kaisel, they give him a pair of tefillin to put on, whatever, and he's telling them, "I don't want your tefillin, go away, leave me alone, you're not getting money out of me." Eventually the guy persuades him, and these guys are good, gets him to put on his tefillin, whatever, and the guy bursts out crying. I've seen a guy putting on tefillin the first time, the guy bursts out crying. What happened? Bursts out crying. Everyone sitting in this room has had some similar experience, otherwise you probably wouldn't be here. Yeah, you go to shiur, suddenly something happens. You open up a book and something sparks. What is that? So we all know that there's a Bach on Hilchas Tefillah that says this, and Nefesh HaChaim says this, Mefurish. Every Jew has a part of his neshama that's untouchable. No sin can go there. No tumah can go there. We all have inside of us a chelek of Elokai Mimah. We all have inside of us a piece of Hashem himself, which is Kodesh Vatol, that can't be destroyed. And that's ultimately what we hold on to, and that's what we rely on, because that's who we really are. The rotzen we have to serve Hashem and to do the rotzen of Hashem, we saw yesterday in the 930 Vard. What stops us? The Yetzirah, Sorship, Issa, Veshibud Malchus. The Goyish influences in the Goyish world and the terrible goddess that we're in. And the Yetzirah, but if it wasn't for that, everybody would be doing everything they're supposed to do. But we have that peace inside of it that is untouchable. In Loshon Purim, it's called Ginzei HaMelech, the secret storehouse of the king, and that's where they were going. For the first time in history, Oboisa. Haman and Ahasuerush wanted to go in there and they wanted to be Megillah the Hester. What is Megillah's Esther? Megillah is to reveal. Esther, Hester is to hide. The hidden. That's exactly what Purim is. It's a time when they came to be Megillah the hidden. Haman and Ahasuerush wanted to destroy that peace. Amalek's war is not with you and me. Amalek's war, the Rambam says, is in Hashem dor l'dor. He's fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to destroy that piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists in the world via us. And Hashem says, Ad Kan, that you can't have. That you can't have. Esther was terrified. Esther understood what was going on. She was terrified in a mystical type of language. She sent Begodim to Mordechai and said, cover yourself, they're coming to reveal that. So she sent Begodim. I'm not going to the whole subject of what Begodim is now. It's a very big theme in the Megillah. The begodim, the clothes, just very simple, is busha. The antidote for busha. What is busha? Busha is revealing something that was meant to be hidden. What's an embarrassment? You know, they say you get caught with your pants down. It's an English saying, you know. It's when something that should have been hidden gets revealed, that creates an embarrassment. What's the antidote for that? Is levush. Levush. Again, busha is a thing called levush, clothes. That's a shear and a shmooze on its own, just the sugi of clothes. But Esther is sending clothes to Mordechai. Mordechai is sitting at the Shara Melech in sackcloth. And Esther finds out that that's what Haman's going after. Haman's going after the Ginzei Melech. He wants to destroy the innermost pnim that we have as a yid. To put it into very practical, musitika terms, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, the Yetzirah comes along and says, you're a garnished, you're a nothing, you're a failure, what are you wasting your time for? How do you get back on your feet? Because you know who you are. I have a shtickle neshama, I have a shtickle kedusha in me that can never be destroyed, and if I can plug in there, from there I can regrow myself into something that's supposed to be. And if that gets destroyed, then it's over, then it's finished, then there's nothing left. So she sends clothes to Mordechai, and Mordechai says, I don't need clothes. That piece of me can never ever, there's no busha there. In that world where they're trying to attack, there is no busha because there's never anything wrong there. That's Adam HaRishon before the Chait. Adam HaRishon before the Chait walks around without clothes on. He feels no busha. What's Purim got to do with Adam HaRishon? Gemara says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Haman min ha-Torah. Where do we find Haman in Chumash? Where do we find him? Hamina ate. Hashem asks Adam, did you eat from the tree? That means all the way back in Gan Eden, right after Ma'aseh Bereishis, straight after the Chait of Adam HaRishon, there's Haman already. What he's doing there, what he's got to do with the tree, what dafka there, fascinating stories. Rav Tetz has a wonderful chapter in one of his books. That's not a subject now, just to show you that the story goes all the way back then. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, the cure for that is Adel Lo Yoda. The person on Purim is supposed to get back to that Nakuda where he's Kodesh V'Tol, where there's no Busha, where there's no Chet. Like we got at Har Sinai when we got the Torah on Shavuos. Same way we got the Torah on Purim. Kimu v'kiblu. Gemara in Shabbos says that there was no einshin for Torah Shebal Peh until Purim. That was when we were makabel Torah Shebal Peh. The Ma'idika thing. You need Kabbalah Satorah. For that, you have to be out of Mishnah before the Chet. You have to be back in that place where there is no Bush, where there is no Chet, where there is nothing to be embarrassed about because there's nothing wrong there. And that's what they were going after. That was the Nakuda that they were trying to destroy. And Lamaisa, if you look at the world today, clearly you'll see that's a Nakuda that's trying to be destroyed today. If you look at the forces of the world, besides the forces that want to blow us out of the water and want to destroy us completely, if you look at the spiritual war against what a Jew has to fight against today, you look at all the struggles, the battles, the difficulties, the influences that penetrate in our lives, that try and stop us from being connected to Torah, you'll see that they're coming to destroy the innermost self-confidence that a Jew, if you can use the word self-confidence, that a Jew has in his own spirituality, in his own godliness. They've leveled the playing field. We're like everybody else. He's a bit more spiritual, a bit less spiritual, whatever. They've taken away from us the belief that we're supposed to have in ourselves, that yeah, that we're also a chalek of that inside. We have that inside of ourselves. And that's got to be strengthened. We have to go back and keep reminding ourselves where we come from, who we are, who our ancestors were, what our mission in this world is. We're not here just to be like the goy. We're not here to just learn a bit of Torah but be a goy. We have a special mission, we have a vision, we have something that we have to do here. And on Purim you have an opportunity to get in touch with us. In Purim you get a real opportunity. Mishnichnas Yayin Yotze Sod. What's Sod? Sod is the inner secret of who I really am. Get in touch with who I really, really am. At a very personal, private level, there's an avoider here as well. There's something to do with why we wear masks, I believe. I haven't seen this written anywhere. You don't like this, you don't agree with it, you don't have to accept it. Just an idea that I had. Purim is about nahafuchu. It's about things that you could never imagine happening. It's about miracles. That's why we're so enchanted by it. Imagine the scene. Mordechai is sitting on the floor in sackcloth. He has a death sentence hanging over his head. He's on death row, basically. Yeah? He's the biggest miskin in the world. Haman is riding the crest of a wave. By the way, the gallows have been built for Mordechai already. Haman's already built the gallows. There they are. Yeah, and Haman's riding the crest of a wave. Mordechai gets killed tomorrow and that's it. There's nothing in his stead. He's achieved his goal. He's destroyed Klal Yisrael. He's done exactly what he came to do in the world. And he can now do whatever he wants. He's ruling the world. Him and Achashverosh. And Mordechai, the guy's finished. There's nothing left. If I would come to you and tell you in 24 hours, Mordechai is going to be the number two in the world. Haman's going to be hanging on the gallows he built for Mordechai. You tell me you're Meshuggah. What have you been drinking? You're drinking before Purim. But what have you lost your mind? This can't be. Can't be. And what happens? Puk. That's exactly what happens. Within 24 hours, the whole world's turned around. Everything's upside down. Mordechai becomes the king, and this one, and that, and the whole thing, and Haman's hung, and his son, and the whole plan within 24 hours is over. It's finished. It's over. It's finished. It's a pelo otsum. We had a little taste of what that looks like when communism fell. Russia was a very powerful nation. Within 3 days, a lot of communism collapsed. A taste. I'm not saying that's what it looked like. It took a bit longer, but we have a taste of how quickly Hashem can change the world if he wants to. That tells us that we can do the same in our own private lives. The Ikka Avoida. Rav Pinkas Zatzal used to speak about this a lot. The Ikka Avoida of Purim is to change your life around. It's to turn yourself around. There's wonderful macrocosmic, universal, mystical things taking place here on Purim. Some we have sheikhs to, some we don't. But one thing we do have sheikhs to is ourselves. Ourselves. Strip the masks, the boysa. We wear masks on Purim, I think, to remind us that that's what we do. When we look in the mirror, we don't see ourselves. We see the little picture of who we've built for ourselves. I heard an interesting maisa the other day that I think illustrates this. It's a true maisa, but I'll use it as a moshul. There was a guy who came to davening late, so he screamed up, parked his car outside, and he happened to block in two or three other people. They couldn't get their cars out, right? So everybody knows that what a person wants to do start off the davening is get out of there as quickly as possible, right? The guy's blocked me in and I'm going to have to wait. So there was a guy there, Kochen. There's a chutzpah, fox, he's calling, I can't get out. Whatever. The guy's car was open, which is a riot that was never took place in South Africa. The car wasn't locked. He opened the car and the guy's cell phone was there. So he took the guy's cell phone and he smashed it on the floor. That'll teach him, he says. So someone said, what are you doing? He said, Mama, Gielo. He had it coming to him. He parked me and I can't get out. I've got to get to work. So what's going on here? This guy that parked his car didn't do a nice thing. Give cheshbon for that. Don't just park people in. Maybe the guy's got to go urgently, whatever. He's late for a meeting. You could cause the guy damage, whatever. He didn't do the right thing. He's going to have to deal with it. This guy that took the phone and smashed it on the floor, he's over a few sederaises. There's Gzela, there's Nezikia, there's Nakoma, there's a whole bunch of stuff this guy took. His mama, he's got a whole list of charge sheet there, yeah? But when he looks in the mirror, what does he see? He's not allowed to park there. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know, but I'm a big tzaddik. You know why? Because he won't do it again. I stopped the next guy getting blocked in, because this guy will never park somebody in again. I'm helping the next guy that could have got blocked in. He doesn't realize, he thinks he's a tzaddik. He thinks... We all have those places where we do things, where we feel, I was totally justified, I'm 100% right. Did you see what she said to me? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what... But I had to do it. And when we look in the mirror, we're wearing a mask. We don't see who we really are. They avoided before Purim. Tainus Esther is given to us not to starve. It's given to us to do tshuva. It's given to us to think long and hard. And if you have a segula, then on a day of Purim, a person can nafuch his life. He can change his life even more than on Purim, more than on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you can change yourself radically. But on Purim, you can mamash get to the inner core of who you really are and change that. That's an ahafuch of enormous proportions. Enormous proportions. I'm talking to Olam Yah, who's already raised themselves up to incredible levels. If you look how hard it is to get a working guy to come into Beis Midrash and learn even for an hour or two a day, you see that the ones that are here, it's an enormous achievement. There are 1,000 people sitting in this room every day, you know, going to work and learning. So you say, oh, no, Mishka Felach. There's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people out there that can't cross over the threshold, and you have. So that's really big. It's really big. But now that you're here, it's time to take stock and have a look. Where am I kidding myself? Where am I fooling myself? You want to fool the whole world, fool the whole world. I don't mind. But don't fool yourself. This guy's smashing the cell phone for mamish. When he goes up, he tells his wife, what a big deal. You know what I did today? He's proud of it. Proud of it. Ad kadekach. We all have, whether it's our davening, whether it's our learning, whether it's our disturbing someone else who's learning, whether it's coming early, coming late, whatever it is, whether it's in the home, whether it's kicking the children, biting the dog, whatever it is, we always justify whatever we do, and you can do that the whole year, but on Purim you can't. Purim you have to take the mask off. Why we wear the mask on Purim is to remind us, you're wearing a mask, you're not you, you're not real, you're pretending. Behind the mask, get in touch with who you really are. And the hafuch, you can change. On Purim, you make commitments to change. You can make real, real changes. I'll just tell you my vort, because you've all heard it dozens of times or whatever. But the vort is that adil or yada doesn't mean you're supposed to drink until you don't know the difference between good and bad. It can't be pshat. The opshatim like that, or b'ichtain, it can't be. Nefesh HaChaim says that das means chibu, means joining. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, what it did was, is it joined Tov V'Ra. Adam HaRishon, before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, was Kulu Kodesh. And outside of it was a thing called evil. The Eitz Hara was outside. He ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, said the Nefesh HaChaim, he mechabed, he joined together Tov V'Ra until we are an admixture of Tov V'Ra. There's nothing black and white in the world anymore. It's all grey. There's no good without evil. There's no evil without good. Everything in the world is confusing today. What's Purim? Purim is the one day of the year you get to see clarity, you get to see the truth the way it is. You have to drink ad lo yada until there's no more joining together between Baruch Motcha and Oru Haman. We live in a world where, yeah, man, Baruch is a big tzaddik, but he's also nishta shlechta, he's also not so bad, whatever, I can live with both. I can dance on both chasinas. I can dance by Mordechai's chasinah, I can dance by Haman's chasinah. I get on with everybody. I'm a universalist. I can deal with the Rishonim, I can deal with the Gaza. Purim, you have to know that there's a radical difference. We have no sheikhs to the Hamans. You have to separate yourself from it completely inside, and that's the avoider. It's not just a theory. That's the avoider of Purim, is to get to the point where you have clarity, where you understand that there's no chibur, there's nothing, we have nothing to do with that side. That's kulu ra, and you can be as much of a liberal as you want, but evil's evil, and you have a chiv to hate it. Nimchaikas amalek, that's Pasha Zocha, that's the beginning of the achona for Purim. Is you have to wipe that out completely. We can't survive. Because Bohu's throne is not Sholem until that evil for the sake of evil, is completely eradicated. And the little chelik we have in ourselves, we have a chelik of that in ourselves. That has to come out. And on Purim, we get an opportunity to take it out. The day afterwards, it's back again. We all know that. That's the same as Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're big tzaddik, and we know what you look like the day afterwards. It doesn't matter. You are who you are on the day. The avoiders are very similar. I'm not going to go into them now. That's another discussion, the similarities between Yom Kippur and Purim. But I'll just tell you one thing about what we spoke about earlier. On Yom Kippur, after the Chet, after the Al Chet, and we've mentioned all our sins to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, Harei ani kechlima o busho, busho chlima lefonecha. I'm standing in front of you embarrassed and lowly because of all the things I've done against you. What do we say on Purim? Lo sevoishu ve lo sikalmu. In the song in the Shoshanas Yankiv, we sing after the Megillah, what do we say? On Purim, we're on such a high level, higher than Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, we after the Chet, and we've done Tshuva and we have Kapara for the Chet, but the Chet's a Chet. On Purim, you're before that. On Purim, you're going to Purim, and that's why it's such an unbelievable day. It's a day with no limitations. It's a day with no boundaries. The cure for Ahasuerus coming along and saying, I want a world of Tumah with no boundaries. You know what the response is? Hashem says, I'll give you a day of Kedusha without boundaries. You can reach unlimited heights. Whatever you ask Hashem for, He has to give you. That's why He tells you to get drunk, so that you'll forget what to ask for. It's like the peasant that helps the king. In the Hasidic Sforim, that says, Amaisa, there was a peasant that helped the king. Whatever, his wagon got stuck in the mud. I don't know what happened. He got him out. So he said to him, come tomorrow to the palace and you take whatever you want. The stories, he got home, he had a bit of charata. This guy's going to come tomorrow, he's going to clean me out. What did I do here? So one of his ministers says, no problem. When he arrives here, you invite him and you give him a few drinks. You tell him before you go work, we'll make a lachaim, we want to thank you, whatever. You know, and you stoop him with a bit of whiskey, good whiskey, whatever. By the time he's finished, he'll forget why he came. He'll go home without taking anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a day called Purim where you can daven for whatever you want and Hashem has to give it to you. Hashem says, oi, what have I done? They'll ask for Mashiach, they're not ready for Mashiach. What do you say? It's a get drunk. And you know what we say? We'll give it all up, Hashem. We'll give up all our davening. You told us to get drunk, we'll get drunk. If your wife lets you. In South Africa now, I met a guy, his wife doesn't let him get drunk on Purim. He said he has to ask a shala. I don't know if it's mutter. But there's a wonderful opportunity. There's an opportunity for learning. There's an opportunity for everything. Purim is a moed kedat. It's a very short day. And there's a lot of work to do. And the achana we do before is very, very precious. Because Baruch Hu should bless us. We should mamash be zoiche to the geula that Purim promises us. We should be zoiche to see the light of Purim. I saw it brought down. I can't remember where. It's brought down that when Mashiach comes, the light of Mashiach is going to be so great, we're not going to be able to handle it. We won't know what to do with it. So Hashem gave us Purim to practice. It's the only chag, it's the only yontav that's not going to be mevatel. When Mashiach comes, all the chagim are going to be mevatel. The light of Mashiach is going to make the light of those chagim insignificant, except Purim. Except Purim. The light of Purim is equal with Mashiach. We'll be zeichet to be able to see the light, to be able to take that Yeshua, and we should be zeichet to a Yeshua. We need it very badly. We need a Yeshua, we need a Geula Shleima, and we should be zeichet very soon to see B'yis HaMashiach B'mehera B'yameinu.